You're listening to WPGW AM and FM in Portland, Indiana. It's time now for the live broadcast of the Community Good Friday Service in Fort Recovery, Ohio, coming to you from the Trinity Lutheran Church. Our broadcast this evening of the Fort Recovery Community Good Friday Service is made possible by Calp Pharmacy in Fort Recovery, Cooper Farms, the St. Henry Bank, and Chad Guggenbiller at CSG Consulting Financial and Brokerage. Thanks to Calp Pharmacy, Cooper Farms, St. Henry Bank, and Chad Guggenbiller for sponsoring this broadcast, again, of the Fort Recovery Community Good Friday Service emanating from the Trinity Lutheran Church.
And I invite you to stand as we gather together, and we're going to be singing At the Cross.
Thank you.
Welcome, everyone, to our Fort Recovery Community Good Friday service. It is so good to see all of you after a couple of years of not seeing all of you for Good Friday. I'm Pastor Robin Owen. I'm the pastor here at Trinity and the other three churches of the Wabash Valley Cooperative Ministry, and it's good to see folks from all of my churches here as well. As each person comes to read a reading, they will introduce themselves as well. But special thanks tonight to Pastor Q, Kate, and Brad, Pastor Radcliffe. I'm going to get your names wrong. I knew when I started. Kate and Brad are at the Nazarene Church. Q is at Christ Chapel, and they have graciously brought their musical gifts to share with us this evening. On a housekeeping point, should you need a restroom, it's located pretty much right under us. So there's stairs to that side, an elevator to that side, and the restrooms are at the far end of the basement from there. I want to thank, so I do not forget to do this, I really want to thank our sponsors who let us be on the radio on WPGW, and I know that a lot of folks listen on our Good Friday service. So we thank Kalp Pharmacy, Cooper Farms, St. Henry Bank, and Chad Guggenbiller of CGS Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage. Thank you for supporting our ministry here in this community. And I invite you, as you're able, to stand as we continue. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. The abundant grace and mercy of God be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, look with loving mercy on your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed, to be given over to the hand of sinners, and to suffer death on the cross, who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And you may be seated. We're going to read Psalm 22 responsively. If the women would join me on the regular print version, if the men would respond with the bold print verses. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning? Yet you are the Holy One, enthroned on the praises of Israel.
Our ancestors put their trust in you. They trusted, and you rescued them.
They cried out to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not put to shame.
But as for me, I am a worm and not human, scorned by all and despised by the people.
All who see me laugh me to scorn. They curl their lips. They shake their heads.
Trust in the Lord. Let the Lord deliver. Let God rescue him. If God so delights in him.
Yet you are the one who drew me forth from the womb and kept me safe on my mother's breast.
I have been entrusted to you ever since I was born. You were my God.
Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help me.
Many young bulls encircle me, strong bulls of the pasture surround me.
They open wide their jaws at me, like a slashing and roaring lion.
I am poured out like water, all my bones are out of joints, my heart within my breast is melting.
My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth, and you have laid me in the dust of death.
They pierce my hands and my feet.
I can count all my bones while they stare at me and gloat.
They lie my garments among them, for my clothing they cast lots.
But you, O Lord, be not far away. O my help, hasten to my aid.
Deliver me from the sword, my life from the power of the dog.
Save me from the lion's mouth. From the horns of wild bulls you have rescued me.
I will declare your name to my people. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you.
You who fear the Lord, give praise. All you of Jacob's line, give glory. Stand in awe of the Lord, all you offspring of Israel.
For the Lord does not despise nor reward the poor and their poverty, neither is the Lord's face hidden from them. But when they cry out, the Lord hears them.
From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Let those who seek the Lord give their praise. And may your hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow before God. Indeed, all who sleep in the earth shall bow down in worship. All who go down to the dust, though they be dead, shall kneel before the Lord.
Their descendants shall serve the Lord, whom they shall proclaim to generations to come.
They shall proclaim the God's deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying to them, "The Lord has acted." We'll continue with hymn number 335.
Free to all.
the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, Good Friday, is smack dab in the middle of the great 3 days. Now, when I was a kid, I always wondered about this math of the great 3 days, because in the liturgical tradition of the church, we start with Maundy Thursday, and then we have Good Friday, and then the third day is Easter. Now, wait a minute, is that not 4 days? We fail basic math. No, really. It's that we need to keep track of time the way Jesus and his people kept track of time. Maundy Thursday is the evening of the first of the three great days. And on Maundy Thursday, Jesus and his disciples gathered and shared the Passover meal, the last supper he would share with them in his earthly ministry. So some of us gathered last night and remembered that, the first of the great 3 days. Here, on the second of the great 3 days, we pick up our worship right where we left off at the end of Maundy Thursday with Psalm 22. I love that psalm, and it's a good thing because this is the second time I've read it within 24 hours. At the end of our Maundy Thursday service last night, I read Psalm 22 as the ladies of the church stripped the altar, remembering that we are in a time of fasting for Good Friday. And so we hear those words of Psalm 22, part of which Jesus spoke from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? But you know, even Psalm 22 can't stay with that absence of God very long. Did you notice when we got to the end? It shifts to being a song of praise. Because as we go through this second day of the great 3 days, we gather at the foot of the cross. We remember that Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to die for us. And that death is not the final word, right? That's why this is the middle of the great 3 days. It's why Good Friday is good. Because if it ended with the cross and that was the end of the story, this would not be a good Friday. If it was only the great 2 days and the 2 days ended with Jesus' death, we would not be here. Because today, as we reflect on Jesus' death, we do it in the context of the great 3 days, knowing that that third day is when God's response to all of the evil, all of the bad intentions that humanity could throw at Jesus, even death itself, does not have the final word. So that third day really starts at sunset tomorrow. And we don't do it here, but some of our brothers and sisters in this community and around the world gather for the Easter Vigil. And it's from the Easter Vigil that we have that tradition of Easter sunrise services. Because back in the day, folks, church was not an hour long. Back in the day, Easter Vigil started in the dark with a bonfire. And around that fire, the people told the story of God's love for humanity from the very beginning, clear up until Jesus' death and resurrection. Stories and songs to remember God at work. And then at the end of the vigil, as the light is just coming up, you move into the church that's decorated and ready to celebrate. Now, those of you who know me, you know I'm not a morning person. So the demise of the sunrise service does not break my heart. I was all about Easter Vigil starting at 9 o'clock on Saturday night. Wrap up around midnight. I'm good with that. But still, we do celebrate that third day because it is on the third of the great 3 days that Jesus answers back to all those forces of sin and the death, the devil and death itself with, "I'm alive." Humanity said no to God's love shown in Jesus. And God said, "Oh yes, I haven't given up on people. Death does not have the final word." But while we're living here on this second day of the great 3 days, knowing where we started and where we will end up, it is good to spend some time, as some of Jesus' followers did, right there at the foot of the cross, watching, listening, participating. So I want to encourage you, during the time that we're reading that gospel story, put yourself there. Where would you be? Where do you find yourself in the story? Maybe you find yourself at several places in the story. Maybe you can kind of identify with the crowd saying, "Crucify him." Maybe, like Peter, you don't want to admit you know him at all. Maybe, like the faithful, especially the women who were there at the end, maybe you find yourself at the foot of the cross going, "I don't get it, but I'm here." And you know, the place where we all find common ground as followers of Jesus is at the foot of the cross, where we remember that no matter how awful we are, no matter how much we have fought God's love, God still loves us. God wins. Life wins. Us Lutherans, we look back in our tradition to Martin Luther, who 500 years ago kind of got us started on this interesting track. Do you know what his very last words were? He couldn't talk. He wrote them down. He wrote, "We are beggars. It is true." And what he was referring to was something he talked about a lot in his life, in his ministry, in his writings, which is that we are beggars at the foot of the cross. As we face our own deaths, may we too remember we're beggars, but we're at the foot of the cross, and the cross changes everything. Amen. I'm going to invite Pastor Dave up to introduce the Ministerial Association offering. He's our treasurer.
Co-treasurer. I have a there's two of us now. Jim,
hey.
Is also on the checkbook, which is really nice. So first time I think we've had two of us on. This year, the Ministerial Association will be giving out 3 scholarships to high school graduates, $400 each. There was about 30-some that filled out. We got stacks of papers to go through, and we each picked, I picked 6, I think, Dave and, no, you,
yeah,
Robin
and
Jim, or Dave, one of you, I forget who, Jim, picked out 6 each, and it turned out we had 3 agreements. So out of those 6 that we agreed on, usually the determination is someone who's going into a person help field, I guess how I pronounce it, medicine, counseling, teaching, those types of fields. The young people going into engineering or something like that, usually we kind of skip over them. So this year, $400 a piece they'll be getting. So we appreciate that. We also help community members. In the past, we've helped with medical needs, housing, utilities, and things like that. So that's how the money is used in a general within the Fort Recovery community. So right now, we're doing pretty good. And your help, as I said, there might be individuals with inflation and what's going on. The utility companies next month will be able to start turning off utilities if people have fallen behind. So we haven't had any of that yet. Hopefully not. So, that's how your funds are used, and we appreciate the donations that are given. Thank you. Let us pray. Father God, as we do come right now, we are so thankful for your many blessings. Father, in the great land that we live in, but mostly tonight we celebrate that your Son willingly went to the cross to pay the ultimate price so that we can call you Father and have that hope. May your blessing be upon these offerings tonight. May they be used to help individuals as need arise. And give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Hello, it's an honor and a privilege to celebrate this Good Friday with you all. My name is Pastor Kate, and I am at Fort Recovery Nazarene Church with my lovely husband, Pastor Brad. We're going to read the gospel together tonight, John 18, 1 through 19:42, the Passion of our Lord, according to St. John. After Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew this place because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas brought a detachment of soldiers together with the police from the chief priests and Pharisees, and they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was about to happen to him, came forward and asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus replied, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they stepped back and fell to the ground. Again, he asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you are looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "I did not lose a single one of those whom you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into its sheath. Am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me?"
Well, I'm Dave, a minister out at First Church of Christ, out by Fox Road. So the soldiers, their officers, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him. First, they took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the people. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Since the disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter was standing outside at the gate. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out, spoke to the woman who guarded the gate, and brought Peter in. The woman said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it and warming themselves. Peter also was standing with them and warming himself. Then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus answered, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said this, one of the police standing nearby struck Jesus on the face, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They asked him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Again, Peter denied it. At that moment, the cock crowed.
I am Pastor Jim Stilwell with the Fort Recovery United Methodist Church, as well as I serve the Erastus Church and help David at the Coldwater Church on occasion. Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation you bring against this man?" They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." And Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill that Jesus had said that when he indicated the kind of death he was to die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again and summoned Jesus. He asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and your chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were for this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king, for I was born, and from this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate asked him, "What is the truth?"
My name is David Porath, and I serve as pastor at Coldwater, Fort Recovery, and Erastus United Methodist Church. I serve with Pastor Jim that you just heard from. Hear these words. After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him, but you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" They shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a bandit. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and striking him on the face. Pilate went out again and said to them, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no case against him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Here is your man." When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him." Then the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has claimed to be the Son of God." Now when Pilate heard this, he was more afraid than ever. He entered his headquarters again and asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no response. Pilate therefore said to him, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to release you and power to crucify you?" Jesus said to him, "You would have no power over me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin."
Pastor Brad from the Nazarene Church. From then on, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you're no friend of the emperor. Everyone who claims to be a king sets himself against the emperor." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at a place called the stone pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. He said to the Jews, "Here is your king." They cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but the emperor." Then he handed him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews, they read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Latin and Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but this man said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written."
I'm Quentin Elzey, most commonly known as Q, and I'm the pastor at Christ Chapel. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, to see who will get it." This was to fulfill what the scripture says. "They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots." And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Since it was the day of preparation, the Jews did not want bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, especially because that Sabbath was a day of great solemnity. So they asked Pilate to have the legs of the crucified men broken and the bodies removed. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. He who saw this has testified so that you may also believe. His testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth. These things occurred so that the scripture might be fulfilled: "None of his bones shall be broken." And again, another passage of scripture says, "They will look on the one whom they have pierced." After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though in secret because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and removed his body. Nicodemus, who had first come to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes weighing 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with the spices in linen cloths, according to the burial custom of the Jews. Now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified, and in the garden there was a new tomb in which no one had been laid. And so, because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us this evening. You're welcome to stay for meditation if you wish. Denny's going to turn the lights back on. Have a blessed, blessed 3 days.
You've been listening to a live broadcast of the Community Good Friday service at the Fort Recovery Trinity Lutheran Church here on PG14 and J Country 101. We thank the following sponsors who made it possible for us to be here at the Trinity Lutheran Church bringing you this special service: Calp Pharmacy in Fort Recovery, Cooper Farms, St. Henry Bank, and Chad Guggenbiller of CSG Consulting Financial and Brokerage. Again, you've been listening to a live broadcast of the Fort Recovery Good Friday service from the Trinity Lutheran Church in Fort Recovery, right here on PG14 and J Country 101, WPGW, AM and FM in Portland, Indiana. Once again, thanks to our radio sponsors of this evening's broadcast, Calp Pharmacy, Cooper Farms, St. Henry Bank, and Chad Guggenbiller of CSG Consulting Financial and Brokerage. I'm Rob Weaver, wishing you all a very pleasant evening and a wonderful Easter weekend. And FM Portland.